Hey, greetings everybody. Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Coming back to you to get back to our Matthew 24 study. We're going to finish out Matthew 24 today. We're going to be doing verses 43 through 51. You can go to don'tperish.com. You can find all the other Matthew verse-by-verse teachings there, catch up. And we'll be moving on to another book after we finish the Matthew study. Let's get right at Matthew 24, starting with verse 43. Remember, the context is Jesus in this whole chapter talking about the signs, the last days of his coming, earthquakes, wars, false teachers. Go back and check up the other studies. It gives you the context of what this is. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. All right, so after all of the descriptions that Jesus has given us about the last days before his return and what the situation will be, like I said, earthquakes, false teachers, wars, Jesus here is about to teach us that God's people, his servants, should be looking, ready, working, and not caught in slumber or unaware. This makes total sense, doesn't it? In this verse, Jesus says, if a man knew when the criminal was coming, he'd protect his house and his family, right? So the whole point is, if you're not sure when the criminal's coming, you should always be ready for a criminal coming. Wouldn't that make sense? If we don't know when the Lord's going to return, remember the past verses said, no one knows the hour, day of the hour when he's going to return. That means we should be working, looking, and ready at all times. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. A true servant, saint, a faithful worker of God is always ready for his master to return. This is why we walk in holiness and obedience every day. It's not a Sunday church thing. It's not a fleshly thing. It's in spirit. It's in truth. We live out every doctrine we know in the scriptures because we're ready for our master. That's a glorious thing. That's what Jesus is trying to drive home here. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in an hour such, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right, so he's telling us, don't be caught unaware, be ready for his coming. And I just said it, we can't know when he's coming. But the answer is, always be ready. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So to be a faithful servant of God, it takes more than all these people tell you. Just believe. Do Sunday church service. You know, you just try your best, but you're not always going to be about the things of God. No, we're seeing that a true servant of God, according to Jesus Christ, and we're going to see at the end of this chapter what happens to not a servant, a servant that's not faithful, not ready, not looking, and lives in sin. We're going to see what happens to that servant. Yeah, we're going to check that out. Jesus is telling us, be aware, be ready, be looking. Do not be caught unaware. Remember the verses before, the unregenerated world, as in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, then sudden destruction comes. They are going to be caught unaware. God's holy people living for his kingdom should not be caught unaware. And that's another key. You don't live for this world. You don't live for your career. You don't live for the politics, the entertainment, the sports. We leave all that stuff behind. We live every day looking for, living for, sharing, living out, preaching the gospel, living for the kingdom of God. This is our life. And when you do that every day, it's kind of like when you're married. If you're married to one person, man or a woman, and every day you're living your life dedicated on this earth to that one person, you don't have to worry about being caught unaware with another person. Doesn't that make sense? But if you're living a life that's sloppy, you have a sloppy marriage, you're with this person, you're with that person, you're forgetting about your spouse, you're going to be caught unaware. So faithfulness is a key that Jesus is trying to teach us here. Faithfulness, being ready for his coming. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Notice he said faithful and wise. whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. So Jesus is giving us the criteria of what a good servant is. Notice, a good servant is not somebody who says, hey, I got made a servant, I don't need to labor, I don't really need to be working every day, I don't need to try hard, my master's going to take care of everything for me, I'm just a servant and I'm guaranteed my servant's status and everything that's going to come to me, I'm going to get. No, no, Jesus is saying a true servant labors for his master. This is faith and this is works at play every single day of your life. There is no vacation for the true saint of God. Jesus didn't take a vacation. Paul didn't. John the Baptist didn't. There's no vacation for being a true servant of the Most High. And when we're talking about the last days and the terrible tribulation that's coming, looking up to those days, even before those days, even if we never live to see those days, we're supposed to be looking for our master's coming, not being a slothful servant. The whole Bible talks about being a worker. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Yeah, we'll talk about hypocrites in a minute. So this is faith and works. Ephesians 2:10 says we were made for good works. That's what Jesus is calling us to. This is our reasonable service, to be looking for the Lord, doing his work, whatever he's called you to, whatever he's giving you in your life. Family to witness to, neighbors to witness to, online to witness, you're a prayer warrior, whatever it is, you're supposed to be diligent and doing it every single day looking for his coming. Amen? What a glorious job we get to do. Hold fast, he's going to come or this life is going to end. You just need to hold fast in your diligent good works because of the gospel of Christ. We're talking to born again saints here. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Okay, so the servant that's blessed, he's not blessed just because he got named a servant, is he? You know, when I street preach, I'm so tired, I hear people walk by and they go, bless you, God bless you, and God bless all the people, God bless all of us. And I always tell people, God blesses those who obey him. This whole chapter is proving that. We need to be about the master's work as fruit that were of him. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. What's doing the Father's will? If you're a servant, that's being about your Father's business every day. Yeah, and looking for the Savior coming, who he's called to come to get his people. Yeah, that's what a faithful servant is. Not somebody who just has a title servant. I'm a Christian, we hear in America all the time. What's a Christian? I explained to a young brother who called the other day. A Christian is a Christ follower. A Christ follower is one who obeys Christ's word and keeps it every single day of their life as best they can. Not just a Christian by name only. That's a hypocrite. Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. Laboring and looking for our master. Verse 47. And I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So this is a principle we see many times in scriptures. If you're faithful with a little, God rewards you with more. We see this in the reaping and the sowing. All right. If not, you lose what you already have. Go read Matthew 25. That'll be coming up, the parable of the talents. Luke 19:17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. So when God gives you something little and you're faithful at it, God will bless you with more. And I always like to tell people, this goes along with many things like truth. If God shows you a truth to obey and you don't obey it, why would God give you more truth, more discernment, more enlightenment? No. But once you obey it and you handle that word of God correctly and you're living it out in holiness and obedience, there's no reason why God won't give you more to obey. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you had a child and you gave them 2 chores and you were going to pay them for the chores and they don't even do the 2 chores, why would you then offer the child the chance to do 6 chores for more money? They didn't even do the 2 to get the allowance that they were supposed to get. So it's a principle, reaping and sowing. It's a principle of faithful in little, you will get more. And it backs up the idea that we're not only to have the title of servant, child of God, Christian, we're to be laboring every day faithfully for our Master's glory. We're not laboring for ourselves. We're not doing that which is self-serving. We're not just looking to save our own skin. We're not just looking to have some title or some reputation of a churchgoer or a holy guy. We're actually supposed to be serving our Master faithfully. That's what the Christian life is all about. Jesus served the Father. We're to serve Him in obedience. Verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. All right. Notice, these are Jesus' words, by the way. I always remind people, Jesus' harsh, cutting words. Evil. Right? If this servant plots his own way and is not serving and doing his master's work, when his master's gone, he is seen as evil by Jesus. Oh, he's not just inexperienced. Oh, he didn't just kind of lose his way a little bit. Oh, it's only one or two sins that he's doing. No, Jesus says he's evil. All right? That's wicked. That's against the things of God. And it's like that today in all of churchianity all around the world. People that name his name are supposed to be servants of Jesus Christ, who told us to hold fast in the sound doctrine, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded, Matthew 28:20. And he told us to strive to be ye perfect, as his Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5:48, and to preach the gospel till he comes, Mark 16, right? But most of the so-called servants that I know that call themselves Christians, they're of the world, they're occupying themselves with their own ways, career, lifestyle, entertainment, sports, all types of things outside of the kingdom of God, and they all think, well, Jesus did it all. I got nothing to do, right? I just got to believe to eternal life. No, these parables are telling us that workers of God are supposed to be people that have faith and works that go together, lest you be called a hypocrite. We're going to get to that hypocrite. I keep promising we're going to get there. So servants who are truly of God labor for their master. Israel had this same issue. Judges 21:25. When their king was away or when there was no king, what did they do? It said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Did you notice this? The master's away and this servant starts doing whatever he wants. Okay, in Israel they didn't have a king and they started doing whatever they wanted. When you don't have laws and you don't uphold the law, people start doing whatever they want. When parents leave and tell kids, behave while I'm gone, a lot of times the kids start misbehaving because they know mom and dad are gone. This is not so of God's true holy saints, born again by his Spirit, through repentance, following their king in holiness and obedience because of what he's done for them, and enduring in the faith every single day. This is why, saints and seekers, if you're listening, it's so important to look at your faith life not just as a lifetime thing. Most people will say, well, I'll be a Christian my whole life. Look at it as a daily thing. Because how about this for an example? You don't look at eating as a lifetime thing. Don't you look at eating as a daily thing. Because if you don't eat every day, you're never going to make it to a lifetime. And so if you don't serve God every day in obedience, all right, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. So look at it as a daily thing that we do, serving God, looking for his coming, looking for the signs, obeying what he's called us to do, being diligent, holding fast, and not getting sloppy because the king's not around. Not getting sloppy because the master or the boss isn't around. That's a hypocrite. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken. All right, so we see this servant that he's calling wicked. He's living in sin while his master's away. Here he's smiting them and he's eating and drinking with the drunken. So that's sin. So this is sin. This could be any sin, all right? He becomes worldly. He becomes selfish. He becomes carnal. It could be any sin that you could plug in there. And I offer up to you, this is the churchianity systems of today. They think Jesus isn't here in person ruling, so they pretty much can live like the world because he's taking care of everything. And Jesus is saying, no, well, the master's gone. This is key right here, folks. While the master's gone, this is who you really know, who loves him, who obeys him, who's looking for him, who's focused on the kingdom, who's keeping his commandments, who's preaching the gospel. When the king is not around, that's when you know what a person's all about. It's kind of like what people, they always say, that you know the measure of a man about what he does when he's alone. Oh, it's easy to preach when there's thousands of people around. Yeah, and get a reputation and think that you're doing all this good work. What do you do when you're alone? You looking at stuff you shouldn't be? You acting the way you shouldn't be? You being a sluggard? Yeah, so the measure is seen. Jesus is teaching us. When the master's not around, we find out what kind of servants he really has. So that's a warning to the churchianity systems that are corrupt, the world that claims whatever faith they claim. God, they don't think God's watching. They're doing whatever they please, living for themselves. And remember, Jesus said it earlier, as it was in the days of Noah. Those people thought, hey, we're going to live any way we want. Ha, eat, drink, be merry. No judgment here. And then the flood came and washed them away. Yeah. And what's going to be the outcome of this kind of servant that we're talking about? We're going to get there. Verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. So this good servant is, a good servant is ready for his master's return. He's ready every day. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to meet my master. I'm living out doing what he's called me to do. I'm ready to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Like Paul said, I'm a poured out drink. I'm ready to go and receive my crown, and I'm going to throw it at Christ's feet. It's all because of him. But what does an evil servant do? He lives in an unready state of sin. He can't please his master in that way. What's going to be his outcome? We're going to find out here in just a minute. And again, this is why we labor every day, saints, in holiness and obedience. If you live one day at a time, you don't have to worry about living a lifetime for God, thousands of days. You just live one day every time. Like your marriage, you focus on doing the best today in your marriage. Do that every day. It's a lifetime. Be the best parent you can be today. Do that every day. It's a lifetime. God gives us a cycle. He gives us a night and a day. It's a good, good cycle to set your life to. How you doing today? What are you going to do tomorrow? Yeah, long-term planning is okay. But so many people plan long term, but not, guess what? They fall short by not even living day by day. So the evil servant isn't ready. True servants, true saints are laboring, looking for their master every day. Jesus is calling us to readiness here, right? Readiness. And since we don't know when he's coming, we covered that, we live ready every day. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verses 2 through 4. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Do you see how they prepared to be ready? So if you're a child of God today, and you know that you're going to have to endure lots of persecution, tribulation, you should be studying the Word, prayer, fasting, building your foundation in Christ, building good relationships with other true saints if you have them, learning how to be a true child of God. That's preparing. That's being ready. Hiding God's Word in your heart so when they take your Bible away, you got it in your heart. That's preparing and being ready. Don't be like the foolish five virgins that came unprepared. They weren't ready. And they missed out. That's what Jesus is warning us about here. Verse 51. Here's some more kind, gentle, loving words from the Messiah. I always like to remind people. This is Jesus' words. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. In that last verse from Matthew 24, Jesus, after he tells us all the signs of his coming, look to be ready to seek and serve your master daily in readiness till he comes. That's what a good servant does. Faith and works, your reasonable service, everyday laboring in every way. What's the outcome of a servant that is slacking in sin, not ready, not about the father master's business when he returns? Well, Jesus just told us, cuts him asunder. look it up in the Greek. It means to cut to pieces. This was a terrible flogging. They would whip people with leather whips with glass and metal in them and rip flesh. That's what happened to Jesus back when they flogged him. Tearing away the flesh. What a harsh, harsh way and punishment for a servant. He's already a servant. You know, it's like people say, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. But were you laboring? Were you in sin and worldly? Yeah, you need to ask yourself that. And then he calls him a hypocrite. Why? I promised I would get to this. Well, go look up the Greek word for hypocrite, and that's what we tell people like when they sit and watch movies. Actors are hypocrites. Why is that? Because actors pretend to be something they're not. Yeah, that's why we frown upon movies. They're worldly, they're carnal, they're false, they're full of hypocrites. Right? Somebody who pretends to be what they are not. Like pretending to be a good servant, but you're wicked when your master is away, or you live in sin when you're called to be holy and obedient. You get the point. Remember, if we go back to our earlier Matthew studies and then also in other parts of the Gospels, Jesus hated the leaven of the Pharisees. Luke 12:1, he said, their leaven is hypocrisy. This again shows us God's disdain for hypocrisy in any person, in this case, servants, who are living with a title, servant, Christian, born again saint, whatever you want to call it. But they live in sin. They're not ready for their master's return. Their job is to be laboring and be ready. They're not ready. They're living in sin, but they're taking the title. They're hypocrites. And he tells them that that man will be cut to pieces. Pretty harsh. What this is telling us is his servants need to be about readiness, holiness, and obedience daily, lest we ourselves be called hypocrites. If I'm out here preaching the gospel, teaching on a website, got brothers and sisters telling people I'm a man of God, but I'm not ready, I'm not looking, I'm living in sin, I'm a hypocrite. I deserve to be cut from asunder and called a hypocrite and cast out. What did he do? What did it say? And they shall cast it. Appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's in a resemblance of hell. That's a description of hell. Yeah, Jesus, with his just his always loving, kind words. No, harsh words for hypocrite servants that live in sin, that aren't ready, looking for their master every single day because they know not when he's coming. That means you're not faithful. It's like a wife. If a husband said, hey, I'm going to go to work for 3 days, I have to, I'll come back, I'm not sure what day, and he comes back when she's not aware and he catches her doing thing that's unbecoming of his wife, she's not faithful to him. She wasn't there waiting for her husband. No different if the man was doing the same thing if his wife was away. What are we doing while Christ is away till he returns? Yeah, all these parables tell us of a God that is loving and gracious at heart. We know God is, but also he requires much of his people who claim his name every day, or they're going to be judged very harshly and sent away. We got another parable coming up in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, that's going to tell us a lot about that. So the moral of the end of Matthew 24, we're looking for all these signs of his return. We're watching the last days. We're seeing all of these signs happening, and we're to be his servants, holding fast, diligently working every day, faithful, waiting for our master to return, not in sin, not in slothfulness, not being sluggards, not being swept away by the world or situations around us. We're to be waiting for our master because we love him and because we respect and fear him. Proverbs 9:10 goes right along. The beginning of fear is the wisdom. Beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Yeah, this goes right in line perfectly. He's expecting his people to do what he's called us to do. That's what a servant is for a master. It's our reasonable service to be laboring, to be faithful, to be looking for him every single day. What do you want to hear, saints and seekers, if you're listening, if you repent and receive Christ as your Savior and follow him to new life? we should long to hear the words that were going to come up to us next in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 23. Yeah, I'm out in the streets as usual. I'm in a parking lot as usual. Matthew 25, 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord." That reminds me of John. I think it's 3 John where it talks about he has no greater joy than to see his children walking in the truth. Faith and works, folks. We got something to do. We got business. We got reasonable service. We've got a duty. Ecclesiastes says, this is the duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. All of God's word congeals together, is a word I can think of, and creates this perfect message of a mighty Savior, the commandments of God in righteousness, his servants called to it, and their faithfulness waiting for him, the one who's cleansed them from their sin, redeemed them from the pit of hell that was their destiny, made them his people. And they're looking and they're waiting and they're longing for his return. They're not living in sin. They're not being slothful. They're not swept away by the flesh and the world around them. I hope this Matthew 24 study has helped you. It's encouraged me. I'm fired up. I'm looking at the signs. I'm laboring every day for my master. Because, you know, I could die tomorrow. And then my race is over. So don't think, oh, I got to labor every day for the next 30 years. You may die tomorrow. You may die next year. How many days are you going to have where you're laboring for your master? He's so worthy. He's such a glorious Savior. He's so full of grace and mercy and long-suffering. Do not tempt this holy God. Do not put him off. Do not make him second. He's a jealous God. He wants us to serve him. Matthew 22, with all our heart, soul, mind, and the book of Mark says strength. I hope you're up for that. We're here to help encourage you do that. Go to don'tperish.com, test yourself with the gospel, thousands of resources for you. We're on to Matthew 25, coming up next. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, go out, have a glorious day. Look for Christ, seek him with all your heart, repent, and obey the gospel. God be praised.